gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 12 of the Truly Schmitty Podcast. I am your host extraordinaire, Jacob H. Schmidt, and this is our second half of my interview with Fatal Attraction. And on our last episode, what we really talked about was a lot of the beginnings of their careers and a couple things that kind of bugged them about what they see as far as independent wrestling, and a lot of what they've been doing more recently in their career, being the Fire Pro Tag Team Champions. And we're going to get back into a little bit about what Mike was talking about as far as one of the more recent happenings in his career. So go ahead and pick up the story where you left off. I believe you're talking about Jimmy Rockwell.
Jimmy Rockwell.
Yeah.
When our friend Kevin, both Kevin and I's friend Larry, initially asked if I wanted to come in and wrestle for Blitz, he wanted to bring me in and he wanted to put me in a program with Jimmy Rockwell, who's great, really good guy. And the whole storyline was going to be, oh, like, Jimmy Rockwell and Michael Marvel used to be in a band back together, and then like Rockwell split it up and he skipped town and Mike just wants to, you know, come in and beat him up. And we kept having all these setbacks. Like, I got brought in about January last year, finally. And, you know, it was like, we're just going to have you as a plant for right now. So like for like 3 months straight, I was, me, Richie, and Johnny were all just sitting in the crowd. We were plants. And we were just supposed to sit there and just kind of heckle and give Rockwell shit, you know, just from the side of the ring. And then a couple other months go by, and Blitz, like, takes, I think, like, about a month or two off during the summertime, and then they get to WrestleFest, which is their big thing. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'll get to do something by WrestleFest. Nope, Jimmy Rockwell ends up wrestling X-Pac, who was one of the many names they brought in, and I get thrown in a Battle Royal. So I'm like, all right, well, Rockwell's in the Battle Royal, so at least we can have kind of like a little thing in there. Not that people are going to even get it or catch it or understand right. What's, you know, like, oh, like, this guy seems like he hates this guy. I'm sure people forgot about it, like, shortly after that. And after that, when it was supposed to continue, it turned out that Jimmy Rockwell and his wife were expecting. So Jimmy Rockwell, who's from Iowa, decided, all right, well, time to take some time off from Blitz. And that was the last we saw of him. And his send-off match was a steel cage match with Rough Crossing.
Oh, man, that had to be frustrating. It just seems like you get somewhere and you're expecting big things, and when your plans get thrown off, it's just almost disheartening to the point where you really don't know what's going to happen next. I can kind of see the frustration in that part.
Yeah, and it's I was really excited to do that for Blitz, especially because if you're not familiar with it, they've got great, great creative minds behind Blitz. Billy Wack is top notch when it comes to just creative wrestling minds, not just in this area, but just in general. And for us to kind of do it in like New Age, where Jack's kind of concept for it is kind of like, oh, just kind of like do whatever you want. There's not really any direction. So that kind of like hinders us. If we were able to do the Rockwell thing, that would have been amazing and it would have given us something to kind of go off of and work with, but it just never took flight.
Right. And, you know, I think that's, Jack's got a great idea, I think, but I think it's going to lead to where too many guys are going to want to do their thing and it's going to hinder with what other guys want to do. So yeah, that may be something he wants to reconsider about, kind of cutting that back a little bit, but allowing the guys to have maybe creative control over what their gimmick idea is and letting them do that, that's great. But I think as far as the storytelling and that, Jack needs to kind of hone that in and, you know, kind of get that under control.
Yeah, because
I think he means well, but it's just like right. The execution of everything is right. Not working out.
I don't know, too. It's something where, like, he wants to give us all, like, opportunities to be, like, he wants to give us equal opportunity to be the guy. Like, we have the champion now, but really he's trying to create the locker room mindset to, like, any one of you can be in the main event. And, like, he wants, like, everyone to go out there to put on 5-star matches all the time. And sounds good in theory, but realistically, it's not going to happen. Execution is never always there. Something goes wrong, and that could throw off the entire like flow of the match. But with that, like even without that, there are some like traditions, like old school traditions that I do think would stay relevant. And I think that is the card, like the way the card is built, like as far as the type of matches you put in certain places and making sure that guys don't do the same thing over and over again. Stuff like that is, I think, is still valuable today because big thing you see everyone do, super kick. Everyone does it. I've done it. Guilty. But it's like I try not to do it too much. It's like if I do it, it's part of the story that we're telling. If I do a super kick, it's to a guy that does a super
like
kick.
Like Hayes when we did it when we got Freebirds.
Like Tristan Hayes's finish is one of his finishes is a super kick. I super kicked Tristan because he super kicked me and Mike, and then that super kick led into Mike giving him the psycho driver, and that was the finish. And
it was a great finish.
It was a pretty hot finish. Any other time I do it, like I said, anytime I do it, it's to someone that does it. It's I'm telling a certain story. The only way I'll do a super kick, otherwise, is I like to do it to a guy in a kneeling position, because realistically, that works for me. I'm shorter, and if someone's kneeling, then that's
take
like
advantage of that.
Exactly.
You're at your level.
But. Well, that was mean and accurate, but
mostly accurate.
I say mostly mean, but you know, tomato.
It's a close race. It's a close race.
It's a tortoise and a hare.
It's all
race.
In the eye of the beholder.
It's a tortoise and a hare.
But no, yeah, like it's something I like to do, but I don't pull it out too often. But yeah, whatever. I digress. But yeah, as far as the New Age thing goes, I think I agree. I think there needs to be a little bit more direction with it. Other than, like, it's cool to have certain freedoms, like, definitely character freedom and, like, collaboration on, like, what you want to do. But overall, either Jack or somebody else, if Jack does want to do it, needs to have the final word on how the booking's going to be. Because you can't let the inmates run the asylum.
That's true.
And I also think there should be more than one person kind of help running things, because if it's just I don't know if anybody's helping him as far as I know, and I might be wrong, as far as I know it's just him. But when it comes to like companies like we've been talking about Blitz is one of the, you know, higher up companies in the area. Tony Scarpone runs it, he does all the booking,
that's his whole life,
and superstars and everything. Again, still, that's what he does, but he's not a matchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a creative director. He has guys that do certain things. He has a ring crew.
Right.
He has all these things that he takes care of. There shouldn't be just one person.
Truth be told, that's something that Jack and I have talked about, where he's asked if I could take a bigger part in helping him with business stuff. As you guys know, I've got taken a leave from wrestling at the very least, if not being completely done. But that's one of the things that he's like, I love the creative side of it. He's like, I need help on the business side. So that's one of the things that I've even said, that once I get back and I'm able to kind of work my schedule out, I can help him with, as far as getting flyers done, as far as getting stuff like that taken care of. That's one of the things I said I could help. But he does need somebody there that can help him show to show, that can be there, and somebody that can definitely help as far as the show day operations of what's going on. So that way he doesn't have to worry about it. He can worry about creative and getting that side of it taken care of, and let the business side go. Because there's some people, I'm a decent business mind. Creatively, I suck. I can tell you, like, when I see something, what my thoughts are and give you kind of analysis. But to come up with a storyline on my own, there's no way in the world. I'm terrible at it.
I think, you know, it's good to listen to ideas. I think every guy has, like, everyone I've talked to just about has good ideas and direction to where they want their feuds or their character to go. I mean, obviously not everyone can go for a title, but if you give people certain situations, like working in Anarchy, I don't need to be in a title match every time, but if you put me in a certain situation, like say, hey, we want you to have a program with this guy. So like, if you give me a starting point, like I'll help you get there. I'll give my input on what we can do with it. And I think that's more or less what Jack's trying to do, but I'm not sure how it's just gonna, a combination of like the liberties he gives us to create. And I think maybe kind of his vision of what he wants isn't shared by maybe a lot of the guys in the locker room. I think everyone wants the company to succeed, but I don't know if they're going to be guys can always meet the expectations of the visionary.
I feel like that's going to be the same with Anarchy pretty soon, if not already.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, you know, talking about Anarchy, I love working Anarchy. But like, you know, it was so frustrating for a while because Daniel was doing booking, and like, you know, as a guy, as a person, like, you know, I'm totally cool with Daniel, but the thing with his booking is a lot of the stuff he didn't build the match types. Like, we had a ladder match kind of out of nowhere and wasn't built, and like, it was just like a randomly throw a match together to, like, number one, like, the winner would get a title shot at something, and then you turn into a ladder match. And I love the match, but that was something, like, you could have saved that for the next month. Because realistically, at that show, I should have been facing Brad Kevins, because I just lost my title the month beforehand. I should have been facing Brad Kevins, or I should have at least been out there during his match against Troy, because I had a feud with Troy to win the title, but I didn't win it off Troy. If anything, you could have made that a triple threat. So I didn't like that booking with me. It didn't make sense to the storylines that we were having or the prior like months. So it's stuff like that where things just don't add up and don't make sense that really get me.
And I think that was one of the things that I've gotten from my last few months at Anarchy, was that Danny was, he was under a lot of pressure for as far as what he was doing for booking and everything. And his heart wasn't in it as much as it used to be. So I think that might've played part into it too, where you've really, if you're the creative mind, you've got to have a bigger heart than anybody, because you're not booking for yourself. You're not planning for yourself. You're planning for other guys on what their future holds. And you should be more excited about what your vision is as a whole when you're planning for the future of the company. So I can, you know, not that I agree or I'm trying to defend him, but at the same point, I know that he was under a lot of pressure, but I understand there's new booking at Anarchy now, and hopefully things are going to turn around. You guys will start getting a little bit more vision as far as what all your characters are doing in that. And
I think we will be, but just from the last show we were at, I can tell there are a lot of people that aren't exactly happy about having our friend Nick coming in and starting to book.
Yeah, Nick is another guy that when we started training, he was somebody that we knew right off the bat. He's one of another one of our old friends from starting out. But like, just to touch back on Daniel for a minute, I would never like attack his booking. I would just say you can definitely tell that he either wasn't in it, because I wouldn't call myself a master booker or anything. But as long, like, I won't ever bitch about booking if it makes sense, but like, a lot of stuff at that point wasn't making sense, and like, it could have very well have been he just wasn't into it. But again, like, you know, at that point, like, the book was handed to like a handful of guys within a couple months span,
right,
before he took it. And then like, he would show up to shows and like, just figuring out like the match results and for some of the shows as he got there, or trying to figure out the order from that. And I kind of feel like, as like, if you're going to be a booker, you need to have long-term or long-term vision. You can't do it month to month. You need to have like some odd months in advance and try to figure something out for everybody.
Nick's talked about doing that too. He mentioned that at the last show.
And you know, the thing with Nick too, like, you know, he's talked, I think one of the big things where like, he might be getting some criticism is he's putting a lot of pressure on himself and on the company, like saying like, it's going to, like, how he expects it to blow up really big. And you know, that'd be cool, but like, realistically, can it happen? Like, it's still indie wrestling. We're still like, you know, in the same like areas. Hopefully we'll be able to branch out more. Like I really do want Anarchy to succeed, and I'm not trying to doubt us or Nick or anybody, but it's one thing to have a vision and to talk up your game, but we like really need to execute too, because I always felt like for the most part Anarchy's always had good matches from what I could tell. Every time like I would watch the shows, I was like, oh, there's some really good matches going on at Anarchy. I'd always put Anarchy over to people at other promotions, say, hey, come check out Anarchy. I wrestle there, and there's like usually from the first match to the last match, like, you know, great wrestling all around. So I really do hope like it can go somewhere, but I don't know. There's a lot of reservations, I think, from like the locker room. But something else too, and just like Nick was kind of really vague. Like he said, like he has these ideas, but like he didn't really tell us what they were. So like, I hope he does have ideas, and like, you know, he brings them up, because I know he was still asking us for input. But like, I would kind of hope, like, you know, if you're taking over a book, that like you kind of have already an idea of where you want certain people to go. But you know, it is what it is.
As we're talking about right now, this is the Truly Schmitty Show, episode 12, and I'm talking to Fatal Attraction here. And I just want to remind everybody, you can listen to my show, The Hot Pod, and Thursday Night Thunder, all at hpn247.com and hpn.listen2myradio.com. And you can also find us and download us at Blog Talk Radio, and be able to find us on there doing the search. And what we're talking about right now with Fatal Attraction is Anarchy Pro Wrestling and their change in book. And from when I was there, I remember probably about a year ago, right around that time, John Burke was doing booking, and then it went to a booking by committee where it was four guys doing booking, and then it went to Danny, and then now it's gone to Nick. For those that don't know, that's Jackson Manners, independent wrestler from Windy City, been around for a while. From I've never really talked to him myself. I used to work at the same company with his wife, but from everything that I understand, hell of a guy, nice guy. It'll be interesting to see what he could do with the book, but that's one of the things that as a wrestler, it's kind of out of your hands as far as what the booker really has in mind for you. You could give your input, but at the end of the day, he's going to try and do what he can to save his job and be able to make an impression on whatever company that he's working for and trying to get his name out there too.
Well, all you can ever really ask for in a booker is just to kind of put forth and place everybody into something that's going to make sense. For everybody that we've worked for, excluding Lucha Libre, because Lucha Libre was just, you know,
crazy. No
mess.
Direction.
Who wins
the match?
I don't think there's...
coin toss.
For every Lucha Fed we've wrestled for, there's never really been, like, storylines or anything like that. You just kind of go out and, you know, just listen. And even if it's in Spanish, just listen. Just
right.
Like, but
show the people.
For everybody else we've worked for, there's always some misdirection every once in a while.
Right.
You know, like we love working for Fire Pro. Mm. Like Fire Pro, I consider our home fed. I love working for Fire Pro. When I leave a show one month, I'm excited to go back the next month. And it's a great locker room and everything. But we've talked about it before, especially early on within that first year we were working for Fire Pro. Especially the first program we were placed in, just like the ending result, which just didn't make sense.
Yeah. See, like we were in a nearly year long. I think it was like an 8 or 9 month program with the Masters.
Time.
Yeah, and the blow off was going to be in a gimmick match where it was like a street fight, and we had like fencing on two sides of the ring, and come dressed as you are kind of thing. They were dressed up like the preppy golfers they were, and like we just dressed up in however we wanted to dress up.
You wore your Tommy Dreamer pants?
No, I didn't wear my Tommy Dreamer pants. I just wore basic Adidas pants and a black tank top. But yeah, no, the ending result was that it wasn't for the titles, because we had cost them the titles, because we didn't get the job done against them, because I'm pretty sure they beat us dirty. Anyway, we cost them the titles because we were pissed off at them. And so it was super personal at that point. And we had our gimmick match. And then they went over. And I don't care about wins and losses. I just care that things make sense. And that goes back to booking.
It would have been best, at least in my mindset, had we won. We're the hot new tag team in Fire Pro Wrestling. Everybody loves Fatal Attraction of Fire Pro Wrestling. First program we were placed in with, like, two big heels. The biggest heel tag team in, you know, Fire Pro at the point. Everybody hated them. They're the douchey golfer guys, you know. And ideally, we should have won the program, whether it was for the belts or not, even if it wasn't for the belts. Especially, if you want to keep the belts on them, fine. But whatever ends between us, we should have went out on top because we're the hot new tag team. And to consider that the Masters broke up shortly after that, too, didn't really help our cause.
Well, yeah, right. It's like, who would you rather have get some momentum going for them? A hot up-and-coming tag team that, like, ideally, like, you're going to put in a, like, title picture, like, eventually, or a team that's going to be breaking up. And I don't know. I think it might be the team you want to go over is the one that the up-and-comers that you want to put the belts on eventually.
Well, I'll tell you guys a quick story about something along those same lines. Back in 2005, 2006, I'd been in the wrestling business a couple years and just started wrestling. I'd been in competitively wrestling for about a year, and they put me in this program. I'm not a little guy by any means, but they put me in a program as a light heavyweight. They had me doing the reverse of the old Crash Holly gimmick, where he was coming out to the ring with the scale.
Yeah.
They had me doing the opposite, where I was weighing in all the time in lightweight. And you would think at that point, if you're going to push me that hard and do it for months at a time, that when you put me in a title match, it would make sense that I actually would go over for the belt, at least even if it's a transitional guy. But they killed every bit of momentum that I had in that and had me drop the belt and get pinned by two guys in a triple threat match. And the guy they gave the belt to, I don't even think ever defended it. He just ended up walking away the month after. So that's kind of the same vein where it's that bass-ackwards booking that you see where you've got long-term potential in somebody you know that's going to be there, against somebody that's going to be going away in a short amount of time. And that's where I agree that is short-sighted booking.
Well, you know, essentially, too, if you break wrestling down to, like, the most simplest, like, form of entertainment, it's good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
And you always want to have good conquer evil in the end. I can understand, like, you know, if it's, like, if they were still champions at the time and we weren't ready for the titles, then, you know, okay, don't have us win, but at least let us have the last laugh. But at that point, there were no belts. It was just for pride. And that's one of those instances to where you really get nothing out of letting the heels win.
Right. And really, if you kind of liken it to the way wrestling is as a whole, when you're leaving, and even if I believe that's breaking up a tag team, or if you're stepping away for a short time, doing the job on the way out, doing the honors on the way out. And that would have given you guys the perfect rub to be able to even though you guys are still at where you're at now as being the tag team champions, that would have given you guys even so much more momentum at that point to have been even bigger than where you guys are now.
I mean, like, in the grand scheme of things, we probably would have got here anyway. Like, obviously we have. But, like, you know, just at the time, it just didn't make sense. And that's my biggest gripe is like, when booking doesn't make sense. I don't, like, if you tell me to go out and make something work, I'll try my hardest to make it work if it makes sense. But, like, if you're asking me to do something that makes no sense, I'll go out and do it because you're asking me to, but I'm going to bitch about it.
Right. And that's understandable because the fact that at the basic of what wrestling is, as far as what you guys do, what I used to do, you're your own boss. You're going out, you're an independent contractor, so you're trying to do what's best for you. And you're going to, you know, if they're telling you they need you to do this, you're going to do everything you can to make yourself look as good as possible.
Well, you want to make everyone look good. And the thing, and if you're telling someone to do something to where, like, fine, like, you want to put out an enjoying, like, a entertaining match or something enjoyable. But, like, as far as the way you set things up, you had to put up the blocks. Like, the booker is the foundation for everything. To where they set us up to do something good, or, you know, they give us direction, and essentially we go where they want us to go and where we want to be. But, you know, if they're telling us to go somewhere, that's, it's like going down a one-way street and then telling us to make like a U-turn or something.
Right.
Some stuff just doesn't make sense. And when we have to do shit that doesn't make sense, it pisses us off. Because essentially, like, we, not only are we doing it because we want to have fun, but like a lot of us, like, realistically have pride in what we do, and we do consider wrestling an art, and we do want to tell stories. And when those stories don't make sense, it's just like people walking out on a movie. It's like, this movie's stupid, I don't want to watch it anymore. And that's kind of how you feel when you get put into shitty booking. Like, this is stupid, I don't want to do this anymore.
That's completely understandable.
But it really hasn't, it's really been better. But just to cut you off and to cover my ass from getting any heat, you know, shooting from the hip. I can't complain too much about booking these days. I think the last thing of booking is hopefully, you know, when it comes to Anarchy, hopefully the booking's going to be better now, because we got someone who is seemingly has an idea of what he wants, and he wants to be there. It's not like he feels a sense of obligation because he's best friends with the booker or the promoter. And like, you can tell his heart's still in it, because he still even wants to wrestle. But like, one thing I didn't like the last that tag tournament that Danny had booked, I had no problem teaming with Mike. My big problem was teaming with him as Fatal Attraction, because at that point, the month before, he was just introduced as some random guy off the street.
Right.
And now, like, the next month, like, he's tagging with the former Cruiserweight champion, and my character just instantly changed. Because when I'm in Fatal Attraction, it's different than what I was carrying myself as a singles competitor in Anarchy. And, like, we didn't have any vignettes or any promos that kind of explained our history together. Like, I was saying, like, even, like a short, like, two-minute thing, like, dude, I'm so glad you're here. Like, I've been here for, like, a year with a stick up my ass. I've just been a completely different person.
Right.
It's like, it just have not been me without my best friend.
It was really awkward for me, too, because when I teamed up for Jimmy Blaze, I think you were there for that, right?
Yep.
Like, the vignette that we shot was like, oh, like, my partner didn't show up. Oh, here's this random kid off the street. Right. Let me pull him aside. And with the exception of, like, the few people there that, like, know who I was,
mm-hmm.
like, nobody knows.
Right,
like,
you're a random guy.
Oh, is that a random guy? He's probably a wrestler, but so, like, I felt, I didn't know they were going to team up me and Kevin. So, like, my idea was to go out there with Blaze and be like, oh, like, what do I do? I don't know what I'm doing. Like, so I was like, oh, I'm doing good. Hey, all right, cool. I'm wrestling. This is wrestling. Neat. And then they just, like, you guys are going to be Fatal Attraction next week. It's like, all right, time to bump up the volume.
Right.
You know.
And then he went from 1 month, oh, am I doing good, to the next month is like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a superstar.
Scorpion cross like combination with the fucking curb stop.
Wow, this guy knows what he's doing.
Wow, like, man, Kevin Cross really knows how to train a guy.
Do something cool. Wow.
Well, with that being said, guys, I'd like to thank you so much for coming out and being a part of the show. I'd also like to hand out an invite. Any other time you guys would like to come back, you're more than welcome. Please just let me know. And because we went through a lot of stuff tonight, but I think there's a whole lot more that we have yet to untap.
We could talk for hours.
Yeah, hell yeah. We barely scratched the surface. I've got more bitching to do.
Well, that's perfect. But
we've got more heat to get there.
To close out things tonight, normally I do my whole spiel about where you can listen to us, but this week's been kind of hard on me. One of my heroes, Dusty Rhodes, passed away last week. And then this past Sunday, my best friend, Matt Burke, Titan, independent wrestler, his dad lost his battle with cancer. He had been battling a couple different forms through the past 5 or 6 years or so, and he passed away this past Sunday. And I would like to send out my heartfelt condolences to my best friend and his mom and sister and his whole family on somebody that I know meant the world to all of them. With that being said, rest in peace, Mr. Burke. God bless. And just as a little side note, please make sure that you tell your family that you love them, because you never know when that moment may come where you don't get to say it again. So with that being said,
I just like to say that Mike and I, we tell each other we love each other all the time. We're brothers. So, and we're not really related, but
so in the immortal words of Jerry Springer, take care of yourselves and each other.
Well, that's a perfect way to close out the show. On behalf of myself and Fatal Attraction, I am Jacob H. Schmidt, and thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Y'all ready for this?